listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, this is exciting for me because our next guest, while we talked since then, we haven't talked since on the radio since the World Cup, and he was a huge part of our coverage last year. Tommy Wheeldon Jr., last year he said, you know, this World Cup stuff's good, but I got to show you this project I'm working on. You got to see what I'm doing. Sure, Tommy, what are you doing? I'm going to bring professional soccer to Calgary. Of course you are. Aren't you a nice lad? That's a real nice little idea you have there. Well, lo and behold, all kidding aside, not only did he bring it back, he brought it back with a vengeance this year. What a terrific, at least from my vantage point, terrific inaugural season for Calgary Foothills, their football club in the PDL, and Tommy joins us today. Congratulations, bud.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Thanks for having us back on.
Well, no, happy to do it. Happy to, we were talking, Ryan did a real nice job of keeping up to date with you guys and following you through your season, but now it's over. We talked a year ago about the plans. Did it turn out in year one, Tommy, your PDL experience, to be what you envisioned it to be?
Well, I guess, yes, it would be my short answer. It was almost like a blind date. You knew little bits about the person you were going to visit, which in this case was the PDL League. You knew it had strong teams for like the Seattle Sounders, Portland Timbers, their under 23 sides, and Kitsap Pumas, who we know are a fully-fledged professional team. We didn't know lots about the others, so really, we went in with the best local talent we could find on the back of our exhibition season and said, look, why not make playoffs a viable opportunity to try and make year one? Because people said, look, you know, if you finish above, you know, 0.500, will that be a good season? And, well, yes, it will be. But we wanted to, you know, not have a ceiling on our ambitions. And we're still that way anyway. So, yeah, it was a good solid first season, but excellent platform to build on moving forward.
You mentioned you did play some exhibition last year, which kind of got your feet wet. How much did that help? How much did that experience to your players, to you, give you a leg up to starting this year?
Well, what it did, and we're doing it with our women's group, so we've added, we're trying to get into the W League with our women's. We've mirrored the same process. It did help because we had, you know, our neighbours from the north, FC Edmonton, were really good in providing an under 23 squad, and had a 4-game series against them, and the Whitecaps brought their under 23 side to town. So by playing that level of competition, definitely got us ready. It also taught us bits on how to run an event. So, you know, taking what we did in our exhibition season, we thought, well, how's it going to be good for the consumers as well? What do they want to see? And for the kids on the group, you know, they wanted some bouncy castles in the kids' zone. For the adults, they wanted to sit in the Wild Rose beer gardens and have a beer and socialize. So we got those things, we ticked those boxes. And it, again, now year two, which is our inaugural year, gives us another platform to be even better next year.
For those who don't know, maybe this should have been the first question, but my assumption is you got enough people that paid attention that most should know you were in the PDL, which is, we talked about this last year, but just as a reset, it's a step, right? It's
correct.
The start in a, you know, a pro soccer journey, I guess, for you.
Yeah, definitely. I say this time and time again, you know, Calgary with a city of 1.2 million people. It's a great sporting city already with the Flames, the Stampeders, the Roughnecks. It's missing a major soccer component and we're trying to help bring that back. I still think it could host a MLS franchise, you know, over the next 10 years. So that's the big goal. You know, we want to make sure that we engage the community, we develop the players that can play in it and, you know, make that awareness to corporate Calgary to try and bring that back.
Talk about your players, because you kind of mentioned it. This was pretty much a home, very close to being a homegrown club, right?
Absolutely. So we had a 26-man roster. And of that 26-man, we brought in 3 imports, you know, an Englishman, a Frenchman, and a Colombian. Sounds a bit like
a joke. Sounds like a joke.
You've heard that one,
yeah.
But we did. And what they did is they bring a certain element of flair, a bit of professionalism, a bit of organisation for our local lads. And I think it's good for their football development to be around these people. And then from there, we had 23 Canadian lads. Mm-hmm. And I would say of that 23, only 5 of them were from out of province. Everyone else was homegrown, Calgary, whether it be from our, you know, Calgary Foothills Academy or from our neighboring clubs as well. We promoted young talent and they did really, really well.
What becomes of them now? Because I can't believe that they would be playing just a short PDL season and then not play. Where do your players scatter from here?
So most of them now, we've released them into the amateur leagues to continue this summer because we're having a wonderful summer, and they want to carry on playing because many of them, I think on average about 80% of our squad are going into university season. So a large percentage will be in the CIS divisions, whether that's, locally with the University of Calgary or Mount Royal, or far afield to, there's one in Toronto. And then we've got a couple of NCAA athletes. So they'll all be released into there, and their training camps start in the middle of August.
Tommy, your three imports, are they destined to come back next year? My assumption is they go home and they play back home, but are you going to bring back the same guys, or do you recruit new imports?
Well, and that's the thing. So what I've got to do as a coach is, yeah, they added value, which was great. The Colombian lad will return to Colombia. Hopefully, this gives him a platform to go on to another professional team. What we'll look now is assess where we were short. So for me, the imports have to be figurehead positions. We brought in, a goalkeeper, a couple of goalkeepers from Whitecaps as well, Canadian internationals. They were brilliant imports. But the foreign imports we've got to look at now, we tied 7 games.
Yeah.
And in those 7 games, what we needed was a clinical finisher. And hey, that's why they get paid the big bucks, right?
Absolutely.
And in any sport. So we need to maybe go and unearth one from somewhere else. If it's not from within Calgary or within our club or across Canada, we have to bring in an import, and that helps our players being around them. So that's what will be on my radar for next year's recruitment.
So 3-2-7, it's those 7 draws that really jump out at a guy. Did they have any consistency? Were they you coming back and equalizing? Did you give up leads? Was it, was it in games in which, we just saw Canada play in a tournament, which it seemed excruciatingly difficult to score. Why did you end up with so many draws?
Yeah, it was that. It was, first off, goals change the outcome of games, right? So if you go a goal up, that second goal is important. If you score it, that 2-goal cushion is what people call the insurance. If you don't score it, you're forever in a cagey match. And we're in too many cagey matches. In fact, I believe we led 6 out of the 7 ties. So that paints a picture. We also conceded goals, from the 75th minute onwards, which then we can look at, did we A, kill off teams enough, or B, was our conditioning and focus where it should or needed to be going into the dying minutes? And also, let's not discount naivety. When you're in this league, sometimes you need that bit of experience, that experienced heads that know how to see out games. It's a specialty skill.
Yeah.
And we started working on there. So once we started recognize a pattern, unfortunately, the games were too short and too quick. We needed to score more goals to kill them, or then, as we've called before, park the bus and make it very, very difficult. So our back end of the season, actually, we scored a ton of goals because we started being a little bit more clinical, which comes with games.
Talking to Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from the Calgary Foothills Club, just finished their PDL soccer season, 3-2-7. What about the coach? What about the manager in this case? How would you evaluate him?
Well, that's me. So I'm probably my own toughest critic because I'll constantly stay behind and look at videotape. I'll unearth a few rocks. I'm so passionate about trying to do this with our homegrown talent that we're going to have shortfallings. I give debuts to 16 and 17 year olds. On average, we played the most youngest players in our conference.
Wow.
So we were very ambitious in that way. But we made some tactical changes, formation changes. We tried a few things and we got better right near the end. And that shows me that the things we were adjusting to helped out. So yeah, we can do better next year, but we got to start better as well.
It seems to me, though, that you would be dealing with an age-old problem in youth sports, and in this case, maybe more advanced elite athletes, but still that creativity. And how do you build creativity? How do you encourage creativity? How do you allow creativity? Because that's what you're missing when you draw 7 games, right?
Yep. You need that little bit of magic, as we call it, to unlock a tight game. For us, we're looking at trying to develop that. So what it's taught us as well, we've now seen the next step of our players' development in our own academy. So what we're working on is trying to develop that. We've had it at national teams where we tried to qualify with our Canada under-17s, and we just needed that bit of special in the last 2 games, and we didn't quite have it. So yeah, we need to develop creativity, and that's a process of our environment. but it's also it's a special talent and a special thing to have. But we've got a female, Sarah Kinsner, who's now on the Pan Am Games squad.
Right.
And she's one of our most technically gifted players. But what she did at an early age, she played in the boys' things.
Mm-hmm.
We almost call it a skillful neglect from the coaches. They allow her to try things and guide her and just say, look, instead of saying don't and no and can't and restricting their creativity, they're a special breed. It's a special brain chemistry, and you've got to encourage it.
Yeah, and it's hard too, because mm-hmm. it seems to me, you and I had a conversation about this, you know, a year ago. What is Canada's identity in this game? What are we going to be? What are we known for?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're known as a creative country. I just don't. I think we're, you know, we'll run like hell and we'll defend and we'll do the things we need to do, and we got big heart. But I think when it comes off that foot, is it inherent in the system? Is it something that, you know, right from, you know, when we put those Timbit sweaters on them, mm-hmm. that we got to do a better job?
Well, here's the thing, and I've noticed this a lot, is our culture. And I'm 13 years in this country. I'm obviously now Canadian as well. So I feel ingrained in the culture, and I'm starting to understand it more and more. And we're a wonderful, friendly nation that wants equal opportunities for people. And with that is sports. And one of the things you'll always hear on the sidelines is pass. And what you're doing is teaching kids at, you know, 6 and 7 is to share the ball.
Yep.
They can barely, you know, own the ball. So we've tried to develop an ethos where you say, own the ball before you can share it. And we actually want that swarm and the chaos of the kids being able to cut and turn and create and score goals and come away with scoring 8 goals. And the next time it's another kid that does the same. We want that, because that's how we creativity. And it's no different, you know, reading Gretzky's book, how they played a lot of shinny hockey, and you'd go through the mess and play against older kids. And you actually had to learn to cut, check and
yep.
twist and turn. And that's how skill is developed in an environment where it's competitive.
I love that. I love that ethos. That to me is, and I'm glad we're waking up to that. And I don't think it's just soccer. I think it's in other sports. And mm-hmm. it's okay to be special. It's okay to be creative. It's so, you know, we saw it here. You know, I think of all the things that the Calgary Flames accomplished this year, I think the biggest was to allow Johnny Gaudreau to be Johnny Gaudreau, yeah. go out and be creative, as opposed to beating it out of players.
Yeah, and what a special coach Hartley is, because and I would listen intently just about his the way he talked about his players and the group. And it wasn't like he was saying, this is my way. And we have another system where we say, look, are you going to coach by GPS or are you going to coach by PlayStation? Because the GPS is a predetermined destination and you do it one way. And do you remember the route? No, but you get to the destination.
Yeah.
And then the PlayStation analogy is where you're actually discovering it and it's trying and failing different pathways. And that's what we're trying to do as well.
You look back at this year. Can you point to a couple of different players where there's certain growth that you... And I know it's a short season, but were there certain players that took leaps and bounds for you?
110%. Now, we look at our younger players. So young Darius Ramsey, he's been part of the Canadian under-18 setup. He started the season on fire. He's dynamic. He's quick. Mm-hmm. He's everything that we're trying to create in terms of creativity and getting your goals. He's also got a brilliant attitude. So he's a 10 out of 10 in that book. And then Elijah Adekubi is another one that springs to mind. He finished the season as the top scorer with 4 goals from a deep line midfield position.
Mm-hmm.
His older brother, Sam, is with the Whitecaps. So he's from a good footballing family, but he now has that, you know, that little bit between his teeth where he could actually jump. He's only 19. So he's now in that great window where he could develop his physique 20, 21, 22, 23 and actually be the next MLS player.
How many guys do you anticipate bringing back? How many players or positions are you going to have to turn over for next year?
Well, you look at there, so you always have your core group of guys. And I think really from the 26-man roster, you'd say 2/3, you're locked in because they've been with you from the exhibition season to this season.
Yeah.
So they've bled for you. You know, they've been in the trenches. And then the other third is where you look at what imports can make a difference. Where did we, you know, where were we cut short? Where did we have to take a gamble? And that's where that third will be the rotating amount.
Does the league play any role in your recruitment? Is there any kind of drafts or anything that you participate in?
No. I mean, there's certain requirements that you have to follow in terms of you can have up to 8 overage players, which mm-hmm. are over the age of 23. I think we had 4 or 5 on the roster near the end. We'll probably have less now that our lads are getting their own experience. And then internationals, I think you can have up to, 10 international players. We had 3. So they're the only really, really rules that you can have.
I might be overstepping my privy here, but did you end up affiliating any of your players this year with any of the MLS programs?
No, but we actually worked the reverse way because of our pipeline that we've sent to the Whitecaps, you know, in Sam Adekubi's, Mitch Pirro's, Drake Rendell's. You know, we've sent a lot of players going through there. We talked to them and said, listen, you know, we would like some of your keepers. So they have a requirement that any of their NCAA players, they can still retain as a homegrown status. So they have to complete 30 days of training throughout the calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we took two keepers on loan, Sean Melvin, who's a Canadian international, and Nolan Worth, who's a U20 international. And we, you know, did a little part exchange deal with them. And that helped their development because it's a pro-am league and, you know, it didn't forgo their NCAA requirements.
With Tommy Wheeldon Jr., we are talking a little soccer. We're talking about the Foothills Football Club. We just finished their season in the PDL. We'll take a break when we come back. We've been on the field. We'll go off the field a little bit. Also want to pick his brain on some international topics, of which he knows he's going to travel here pretty quick. We'll ask him a little bit about that. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. in studio for the full hour here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sports is really important to you. It's all we do all the time. Proud to serve the best fans in Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, the inaugural season for the Foothills Football Club has ended in the PDL. Just missed the postseason. And while by many metrics, for an expansion team just to miss the postseason, that's a pretty good year. Don't tell my guest that. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. still stinging because his club's not in the postseason. That's what I love about you. Mm-hmm. You weren't there just to take up a roster spot. You weren't there to fill schedule spots. You were there to win.
Absolutely. Why not? Right? It's competitive sports. If you're not in it to win it, then you're just making up the numbers, and we're not prepared to do that.
All right, let's talk about off the field and off the pitch, because I think a year ago I would have said something to the effect of, you, the most important game you'll play is the first game of year two, mm-hmm. right? Get the first year established, head to year two. Are you heading off the pitch in terms of the business model, in terms of the organization? We talked about the team, but in that regard, off the field, are you heading into year number two strong?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what we do is we go in with experience. And with that, we know how to operate the franchise. So from the front office, so to speak, we had some really great people that volunteered their time to help it. You know, we know that we can grow as the corporate sponsorship grows, because of the interest we've gained, we'll actually have a little bit more funding to be able to play with a few things and get, you know, more people around us and get engaged in the community more and get engaged in, you know, corporate Calgary more and really start to build a strong, you know, soccer outpost up here in Calgary.
One of the amazing things that I saw happen was the establishment of identity, the establishment of community. And we were talking about this off the air. It's hard sometimes through social media to gauge whether or not you're really seeing something that's actually happening or if it's kind of being put on. So I asked you a question. I said, did they actually march to your games? Your supporters marched to your games. You got that tradition off the ground in year one.
Yeah, it did. So I think it was the first one. There was our media guy, Steve Rogers, just said, well, listen, you know, why don't we do a march to the game? We start at Edworthy Park and we walk all along the river and get there. And it grew its own legs. And then from there, our supporters group, which again were born out of an organic growth that started themselves, called themselves the Foot Soldiers, and have been fantastic. And then they've changed their march from Edworthy Park to Paz's Pub across
but
the street.
But that's okay. So, yeah. But it's a march.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Still a march.
Yeah. It's a march across the traffic lights. It's brilliant.
Yeah. But you establish something, and that's got to have value, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it's like anything. If you have the autonomy to grow something yourself, you're going to donate more time and effort. And
right.
I said, these foot soldiers have been extremely loyal supporters and they're independent. That's what makes them great. They weren't from a youth club. They weren't from a different club.
Mm-hmm.
They've just gathered together because they're passionate about seeing Canadian soccer and local soccer grow.
What about corporate support? You know, make no doubt, you know, bones about it. A $49 barrel of oil and mm-hmm. we all know what's going on in the city of Calgary. These are trying times. Did you get support from the community?
Yeah, we did, and we raised close to $100,000 in terms of corporate sponsorship, which was brilliant for year one. And it just shows that, you know, people just trying it before they really get fully behind it. I mean, mm-hmm. Celtic Power, it was a perfect sponsorship for our jerseys because we carry the green and white hoops, which, as we know, is kind of the Celtic Football Club in Scotland. So Celtic Power on the front of our jerseys really was a great synergy. And we've talked about, you know, future deals as well. And there's many other groups that want to come on board. So again, it's like anything. You just start it. You prove that you're there for the right reasons.
Right.
People want to get behind it and then you grow together.
Tommy, do you have a benefactor? You have anybody or possibly anybody kicking tires? Because we're, you know, to move to the next mm-hmm. level, it's going to take some investment. It's going to take an infusion of cash. Do you sense that there is someone in the community or some group in the community, or maybe mm-hmm. it's Celtic, that'll help you make that happen?
Yeah, there will be. And we've talked there about, you know, this is the start, but what we've got to do is first off run year one and not make any losses. And we've achieved that. So for future sponsorships, we can show that, you know, it's not like most professional sports where you're going to actually lose money. This one, you know, we want to make sure it's sustainable on a business front. And we do that by developing local players. And we do that by a successful product on the pitch. But yeah, we've had a lot of inquiries that, you know, people want to get on board with this, but it'll take anything. It's like, you know, if we can wake up and get somebody like a Brett Wilson that's involved with Derby County back in England mm-hmm. and say, look, you know, he's going to see it as a potential link to have something here in Canada in his hometown. So there's definitely people there. We've talked with the Calgary Tourism Board and, you know, had soft talks with the Flames Foundation. These are things that could gather its own momentum the more we stay in an established outfit.
Do you feel like there was a lot of watching? There was a lot of people saying, like the idea, want to see if it works. Like the idea, loved it, saw the Mustangs or saw mm-hmm. whatever incarnation, you know, didn't go well. Did you feel like a lot of people were taking a wait and see attitude on you?
100%. I think we're Canadians were a wonderful breed. We're very safe and nice. And I think that's exactly what it was. It was, let's see how it goes. We're not known for being big gamblers and taking risks,
yeah.
whereas the Americans are. You know, look at how they've done. People have risked millions of dollars on franchises, MLS franchises, because they're bold, they're brash, and they're risk takers. Yeah. Here, we've got to take things gradually, and that's what we're prepared to do. And we understand our environment, and that's what we're going to work towards.
You and I were, although we probably can't use the detailed models that we had to go through this, but during the break, we were kind of mapping out where you go from here, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, the PDL is the start of, you know, a journey to the MLS, right?
Correct.
But there's other directions you could go. There's other options out there, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and people think I'm anti-NASL, and I'm not. It's a good legacy league in its own. I mean, you've got established outfits from the old Pele era of, you know, the Tampa Bay Rowdies and the New York Cosmos.
Yep.
And it's a great league on its own. But why I like the USL to the MLS route is it because for me, I've always grown up with a pathway. So whether you're a U10 to U18 or, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're in England and you're Division 4 to the Premier League, there's a pathway. And for us, we've started out with the PDL conference. You know, above that is the USL Pro outfit. And then on top of that is the piece de resistance, and that's the MLS. So that's what we're looking at. That's our favored route. And you're also looking, if has anybody got a $3 to $4 million US to purchase? It might be more now for an NASL franchise versus, you know, a 750,000 US for a USL Pro. These are significant numbers, especially yeah. given the current climate.
What do you foresee, or what? Because this is like a little bit of a chess game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're playing the move now, but you've also got to be thinking of your moves down the road. And I know I'm jumping 0 to 60. Well, what's your vision of the MLS? I mean, they've grown a lot.
Correct. And, you know, if you believe all the press is, you know, they want more and more American teams and not so many Canadians. So you've got your Vancouver's, Montreal and Toronto, and, you know, people feel that you're going to cap it out. But in a thriving economy like, you know, Calgary can be when the oil prices go back up, it's a city of 1.2 million. It is a great sporting city, and we've justified that by the Stampeders' success for the Flames getting back in the playoffs. These are things that could actually help and not hinder an MLS bid, you know, because it will show that, you know, the Whitecaps model, they share the BC place with the BC Lions. There's nothing to say when the new build comes up that you can't share it with the Stampeders, and then you've actually now doubled the amount of home games and host things for the new stadium.
Right. What I'm trying to wrap my head around with the MLS is two things. One is the current, you know, big growth, and there's no shortage of cities showing interest in mm-hmm. wanting to go to the MLS. But the other thing, which I think is different than hockey, isn't, in a way, could we make a pretty convincing argument that professional soccer globally is probably underserved? It's not like there aren't enough players to create mm-hmm. more teams, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like there's going to be a run, or is there? I mean, is there a concern that, you know, we wouldn't have enough Canadian homegrown talent to support, you know, more than three MLS teams?
Yeah, well, here's the thing with the Canadian homegrown talent in MLS. It's still they're still classed as American teams. So, you know, an American can be a homegrown player in Vancouver because it's an MLS league. So there's not a requirement that they need to produce. It's down then to what Vancouver Whitecaps, Montreal Impact or Toronto FC
right.
value as part of their development ethos. Do they want to, you know, help create more Canadian players, or are they going to say, well, actually, you know what, we can get this American mm-hmm. for the same value and he's a better, more experienced player. We need the results and that's what we're going for. So it comes down to each individual club, whereas what I like about, you know, what we're trying to do with our PDL now is we've said, look, 23 out of the 26 are Canadian talent and we're trying to create more places to play. That's what I like about it.
Tommy Wheeldon Jr. is our guest in studio for the full hour. I'm trying to shoehorn you into things that I know about. how quickly can we see a Calgary entrant in the Amway Cup?
Well,
because I think that would spark a lot of interest, don't you?
Yeah, so we've entered talks in it and, you know, they're definitely reviewing it because the U.S. equivalent is the U.S. Open Cup and they host PDL teams. There's even talk, because I would like to see, you know, a bit like the FA Cup in England where amateur sides enter the tournament early and then they get knocked out and by the third round you've got the big Premier League clubs. I'd like to see, you know, the winner of our club nationals amateur team having an entry into there as well as the PDL teams, the USL Pro teams. That's my vision, because then that's the one thing that Canada actually owns and operates. We have our own cup. Let's make it the best cup in the world. You know, that's something we do have. We don't have a national league. We don't have domestic leagues, but we have a cup competition, and that, why not use that as a starting point for more?
I've always been fascinated by the idea of the FA Cup, because you can conceivably, you could have Man U playing a Volkswagen Plants team, right?
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Not to compare you guys that way, but it seems to me that the profile of, you know, of Toronto FC or even the Whitecaps bringing their big club here to challenge you guys or have you challenge them would be terrific advertising.
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't too long ago. I mean, Manchester United were hosting Exeter City. We were in the, you know, League Four. There's, and even last year they had a lower league team. And that's definitely what makes the cup competition special. People want to see a David and Goliath battle when, you know, you're against all odds and you've got part-time players playing against world-class players. It's just the attraction of the cup, and that's why the FA Cup's one of the best in cup competitions in the world, because of that situation, and it's the longest serving. The US Open Cup has mirrored that somewhat, and I think they're having great success.
Yeah. Can you force your way in? Do you apply? I mean, you mentioned you've looked at it. How does the next step happen? I mean,
so the next step, we've submitted in something now in paper and just say, look, I'd like you to review this. We're going to continually put our case forward because we feel we should be a part of it. At the end of the day, you've always got to look at the why factor for anything. And the why factor for us being involved is we want to help the Canadian soccer game grow.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create these, you know, David and Goliath things. We want to spread the word of Canadian soccer across Canada. So that's why we want to be involved. And I think, you know, if you talk to any of the other PDL franchises in Canada, they're of the same ilk. So we're just going to keep pushing until, you know, do the Shawshank Redemption approach where you keep writing the letters, you keep saying no until you get a yes.
So let me ask you this. If you could put your best side this year that you put out in the PDL league and you went and played the Eddies up in Edmonton, what would we see in your estimation as a coach, realistically?
Realistically, we would have to play a very defensive game. They're fitter and sharper. But again, it's a 90-minute game of football and anything can happen. So I'd like to say we compete. We played their under 23 side four times and tied three and won one.
Okay.
So we're there. We played them in a preseason friendly and they beat us with a strong team 3-0. So, you know, I think it'd be close enough that we'd be respectful, but I'd go in it to win it.
So I'm here talking about the Amway Cup, but are there some of those friendlies that are on the horizon where you'll start, you know, raising the water level for your guys, testing them?
Yeah, so what we do, we actually engage with an English Premier League club who are now in their preseason mode of actually coming over and doing their preseason here and playing against us as part of their preseason. We're going to do it over Stampede. So that's other things that we want to now add into year two that would help grow the game, bring exposure, and also bring you know, awareness from other countries over to Canada.
Sorry, you're planning on doing that?
We're planning on doing it. We actually approached clubs for this season, but they couldn't get it done in time. So
can we talk about who, or is that still under wraps?
Still under wraps. I'll tell you who we've spoken to. We've talked to Man City, Chelsea, Stoke, Everton, all about coming over.
You mean teams we've heard of?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Not Bournemouth City or anything like that. No, nothing like that. Oh. That'd be cool. Mm. I mean, that would that now, is that a draw for them to come over here?
Why not? Because what they're getting from it is they're hitting a Canadian market. They're actually spreading their brand globally. You've got Manchester United now currently down there in Seattle and San Jose. My father was just down there for the weekend, and you know, they're doing exactly that. It's a great time to come because you're playing against teams that are fit and in season.
Yep.
The facilities in North America are very good. The climate's very good. And you're spreading the brand to a language that just loves that game, the English Premier League.
Once again, I should leave you to do all the planning. I thought the Amway Cup would be great. But now you're bringing over a premiership side. You're one step ahead. Tommy Wilden Jr. is our guest in studio. When we come back, kind of a rapid-fire segment, lots of soccer talk and a little international talk with the head coach, the manager, and the technical director of Calgary Foothills Soccer Club here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
In fairness, we really should be broadcasting the commercial stuff and running commercials when we're on the air, because the best stuff always comes out during the breaks. Tommy Wilden Jr. from the Calgary Foothills. This is fantastic. I am so excited for you, because when we talked a year ago, more than a year ago, during the World Cup, and we were talking about the PDL, and it's like your passion was so evident, but your head seems so screwed on straight, which is such an abnormality in pro sports. And then, you know, here we are a year through, and good things seem to have happened. Good things seem to be on the horizon. So I'm really excited about that. I want a table to talk on Foothills just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You were traveling here. You will be going to Mexico with our under-17 program, correct?
Yeah, so it's our new cycle. We were back in March with the 1998 born. We were one game away from qualifying for the U-17 World Cup, which is actually October, November in Chile. So this time we're actually going back down now to the 2000 born age group, and they're technically under 15s, but it's part of our U-17 cycle. So we're heading to Mexico, playing Mexico, Panama, Bermudas, Qatar, and there's one more.
Wait a minute. One of those is not like the other.
What, the Qatar?
Yeah, I was going to say, I understand like CONCACAF and stuff, but... Qatar's trying to expand their global reach. Is that what is?
Yeah, what they're trying to do is, listen, this could be the group for their next World Cup. You know, when it's hosted in Qatar, this could be part of the players there.
22, right?
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So realistically, this, you know, some of the players on this squad could be part of that final Qatar national team. So what they're trying to do is get this out. They're putting a lot of fun into it. And putting Qatar in all these, you know, prestigious tournaments, and Mexico's hosting this one, and Mexico obviously a proven world force, and they want to be a part of it. So it'll be interesting to see where they're at, and we play them second, so we won't get to scout them before because they have a bye the first day because they're travel. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
What's your side going to look like? I mean, I'm assuming it's the best players from all. Is this one of the only times you get them together?
Yeah, well, this year definitely. We might get one later on. At the start of next year, but this does is it gives us an initial look of the pool of players we have, and if I rewind the clock to our last group, we started, you know, 18 months prior to the World Cup qualification, and 50% from the group that started to the group that went through the qualification process changed.
Yeah.
So what it does, it identifies the core players, and hopefully, you know, they'll all be there in the long run, but if not, you know, we'll bring in new players, and such as youth development, right? Players are peaking and troughing at different times. So it's getting the right balance.
Frustrating watching the Canada side of the Gold Cup on the men's?
Yeah, it is really tough. But like I said, if we haven't got enough places to play, how are we going to produce many players? So I always use the analogy now. Everyone back in England are talking about how great the women's did.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the English women's structure, they have a professional league, but they don't have a youth development league. In Canada, we have great grassroots and youth development programs, but we don't have domestic leagues. So we're actually doing it in reverse of it. But if you don't create places to play for Canadian players, we won't create that competition and the depth that we need to put onto the national team.
The flip side of that is, I think the side's result, you know, getting to the quarterfinals was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody had high hopes for the women to, you know, to repeat what they did in London in the Olympics. But overall, the hosting of the Women's World Cup seemed to be very favorable for our country.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you have to give Canada credit. There was great crowds. The facilities were great. It was an excellent event for the country. Canada getting to the quarterfinals was good. Listen, they were one goal away. It wasn't that England were that much better in it. They got a couple of set plays, which are the difference, and a mistake.
Yeah.
So that really, it could have reversed the other way. And Canada could be in the semifinals, and again, it's an even bigger success.
The event, to me, that first game with the attendance record, mm-hmm. all of that, the fact that, Canada, and to a certain extent the U.S., there was a lot of, I know there was a couple of small crowds, but some big crowds. Mm-hmm. That has to send a little bit of a message, doesn't it? About what this nation's all about.
It does. We love our sports, right? In this country, it's a great country for sports. And, if you ask people to come out and support, they generally do because Canadians are nice people. So I think we've shown that these events, the U20 Women's World Cup, the Women's World Cup now, we can host it. You now look at the average attendances of the BC Place with the Whitecaps, Impact and TFC. It's in around that 20,000 mark, which is higher than most of the other MLS. If you take away, Seattle Sounders, which are in their 50s,
mm-hmm.
it's one of the highest. So it's ready. This country is ready for soccer.
Meanwhile, there wasn't a day went by about 6 weeks ago that I didn't think of you when I was watching the FIFA get their comeuppance, I guess, is how most of us look at it. Care to share a thought on what we've seen in terms of the top with Sepp Blatter now holding an election for new leadership in February?
Yeah. Did you see the latest where the Joker threw the money?
Yeah.
But just unfortunately, it's either brought to light the problems that's going on, or it's making it a laughing stock amongst all the other sports because that's a governing body. But let's not also look at all the bad stuff. FIFA puts a lot of money into impoverished countries in terms of facilities. So they do some good with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's cut short is it's become, it's almost being labeled by the journalists as a mafia-led organization. And that's not words you want to be using around a governing body. It is time for reform. There's talk of Michel Platini being there. He might be that figurehead because he's obviously he was a wonderful player himself, so he has the playing respect. But he's also shown to himself to be an effective leader with the UEFA side of things in Europe. I'd like to see a shake-up. It's been the old guard. What's it, 5 terms there? It's almost like the George Bush regime in America. There is time for a change. So bringing someone fresh, the game's changing. It's evolving. Now bring in a new reform and make the game exactly what it is and give it back to the people.
But isn't it really the game, Tommy, that makes the success as opposed to the clowns at the top? I mean, you're right about there's a lot of good that comes from it. There's mm-hmm. a lot of good that, FIFA sponsored events and offshoots do. But how much better could it be if it didn't appear to be as corrupt as it was at the top? That's to me the big question.
Yeah, and I guess I don't have an answer for you with that one because it's it has brought a tarnished light to the governing body.
Not the game.
So yeah, you're right. It's probably separated it, and I think people will still go and watch World Cups. They'll still, support the national teams. So will it do the game any harm? No, because it's still going to be the number one player, spectated sport in the world. Which actually, on that, I read that in the US, which we were down there on a road trip, there was, I think it was 22 million Americans watched the women's final versus I think 12 million for the NBA final.
Yeah.
So it shows that the game's not going to be affected. It's always going to be watched, and it's always going to be growing.
Well, that was a two-prong for me. First of all, one, the strength of, we can finally put to rest the women's athletics. Women can't draw on television.
Yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the strength about the game in North America. Mm-hmm. When that many, if Canada had been there, the numbers would have been spectacular here in this country in comparison, right? That's what I loved about that. It also dawns on me that I have given such a been negligent. I should have asked you a little bit about the women's program too, since it has women's soccer has really grown, and you guys have been right at the forefront. You have another team that's growing and heading down the path of professional, and that is your women's side, right?
Yeah. So that's the W League. So what we're saying is, there was actually a decline of Canadian, like Ottawa Fury or an NSL men's franchise. They dropped theirs. And the Victoria Highlanders, who are a Peedale franchise, they dropped their women's too, and it's a shame that it becomes almost the unloved sibling. Whereas you look at how good it has been. So the American team, 17 players out of their, you know, 23 woman roster played in the W League. So it's like what we're saying with the PDL. It has its place. We've got to also be bold enough. If we're going to create a better program for all of it, we've got to treat the women as much as we as equal as we do the men and give them a platform to play on, because there's some fantastic ones. You look at the Women's World Cup, there were some great games. You know, I was glued to it. There was, it was technical, it was athletic, you know, and it was actually, if anything, you know, where you get the men's where people bemoan about the diving and the cheating that goes on, and it is. The women's, it was a purer version of it, and it was good to see.
Okay, where do we go from here? Year one's in the books. You're taking a very measured approach, which is very respectable. To me, I'd, you know, be wanting to take that giant step, you know, run at 60. You're learning to walk, and you're doing it the right way. So what is next for the Foothill Soccer Club?
Well, listen, what we finished mid-pack there. What we want to do now is break into that top three. We, and in order to do that, we've got to overtake what the MLS teams are doing. We've got to jump above them. We've got to obviously find a way to score more goals and concede less. So that's something that we're looking at. We want to grow our fan base. So we've got to get out in the community and talk about why we're trying to do it. The why we're trying to do it is we're trying to help Canadian soccer. Right. And so we've got to make it sustainable for all. It's a great game. It's number one, you know, played and spectated sport. But we want to bring it to Calgary. And that's going to be a big part for it. Because over the next 3 years, we want to compete at the championship level of winning this conference. And from there, we want to have a platform with 3 years in our bank to say, look, we're now ready for a USL Pro. We're now ready to make the next steps. And then from there, you look at a 10-year project of bringing MLS to Calgary.
You certainly have grown as a coach. When you're throwing out the cliched, we've got to score more and give up less. Free advice to me, I'd come on the radio and go, guaranteed bicycle kick goal every game. That's what I would be doing. That is the guarantee I would be making. I am I'm so happy for you. Anytime that you see a good person, you know, put their heart and soul and pour it into something, you want to see good. People can follow you online, right?
Yep. Follow on Twitter. Yep.
Okay. And Foothills?
Foothills FC U23 or me, Tommy Wilden Jr.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're always putting updates on there. Listen, we love opinions of the public, people that share their stuff out there. We reply to. We want opinions. We want to grow this thing together. So if there's people out there that want to know more about us, ask us. If they've got reservations about us, ask us. We're very open people, and we take feedback as a gift to move forward together.
Well, what a show. We started off with a tornado, and we end with a whirling dervish. Tommy, always appreciate your time. We'll get you back in here soon. Thanks for doing this, bud.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Rob.
There you go. Tommy Wilden Jr. Thanks to all of our guests today. Mentioned the tornado. Andrew Schultz, meteorologist with City TV, joined us. I hope everybody escaped unscathed in that. We heard a little bit from Brad Maxwell. That interview is now up. He's one of the plaintiffs in a class action suit against the National Hockey League over concussion related injuries. You should go back and take a listen to that. It's a very interesting story as well. We heard from Rod Peterson, the voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Coming up next, a little primetime sports for you. Then the Blue Jays in Oakland taking on the Oakland A's. Don't forget tomorrow in studio in the 5 o'clock hour, Rob Volman from Hockey Abstract. We'll keep our eye on the Lance Bowman arbitration case. So much to do. Have a great evening, everybody.
Jays, Stamps, PGA, NFL, and more. If it's played in the summer, we talk about it. Proud to serve Calgary sports fans. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.